Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A question that sometimes gets asked in the church, whether spoken out loud or just thought, is who's in charge? One of my seminary professors would always answer that question with Christ. Yep, I know Christ is the head of the church, the response would be, but who's in charge here? No, really, Christ. Christ is the head of the church, regardless of the policy, regardless of the structure, regardless of how the church is organized, or who's the pastor, or who's the president, or who's the bishop, or any other human title we use. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, no matter what. And the church is his body. And this has some remarkable implications for us for how we live as his body in the church. Paul describes the church in several different places as being the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 is one example. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We talked about that in a Bible class last week and I think 3 weeks ago, that just as the body has different parts and different members, each of which fills an important function for the proper working of the body, so we also each have different gifts and abilities which God has given to us to use in serving him and serving his church. None of these gifts are more important than others, and all of these gifts are given for the purpose of building up that body. And so, as the body of Christ, we are united together with one another, called together to serve together. And so, you may have different gifts than I do, and that's a good thing. God gave them to you so you can use those gifts to serve the church. You may have a gift of music, so use that to sing. Your gift may be leadership. Use that to build the church up. You may have a gift in working with your hands, which you can use to literally build the church. The idea of the church as a collection of individuals, each looking out for their own interests, that's something that's come from outside the church, which can have some very tragic, very sad, unfortunate consequences for the unity of this body of Christ. We are not members of the church the same way that you might be a member of the YMCA or the Boy Scouts or any of those. If a member, we're not members of the church because of something we get out of it, we are members of the church because of something that we contribute to it. If a member is a part of the body, then that means that it has a use. Even those things which we often think of in our own body as being extraneous, they have a purpose. One that always comes up is the appendix. Oh, you don't actually need an appendix. Well, yeah, you kind of do. The appendix actually has a function in your immune system. I assume I'm right, and if I'm wrong, one of the parish nurses would correct me. As the body of Christ, we all have a use, a function, a purpose, which we use to build one another up and to serve one another, serving to build each other up. And we are all members of the body of Christ, meaning that the head of the church is Jesus Christ. That the church only has one single head, and it is not any one of us. The head of the church is not its pastor, it's not its president, it's not the board of elders, it's not any of those. The head of the church is not in St. Louis, it's not in Rome, it's not a bishop or a president or a pope. the head of the church is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that Paul says claimed the church for himself. He is the one who, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him all things were created. He is before all things. He is the head of the body, the church. In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, through him to reconcile to himself all things, making peace by the blood of his cross. Not any of us. He is the one who makes the church his own. He is the one who redeemed us. He is the one who created us. He is the one who delivered us from the domains of darkness, who brought us into his heavenly kingdom. He is the one who claimed us, who created us, who redeemed us to be his people, and not with gold or silver, but with his own precious blood, with his own innocent suffering and death. He is the one who feeds us with his true body and blood. And so the church takes its direction not from any human, really, but from the head, which is Christ. This means that when the church is serving others, it is doing so under the guidance of Jesus to bring glory to him. Not to bring glory to the church, but to bring glory to Jesus. When the church undertakes mission work, whether it is here or far from here, that work is for the purpose of bringing Christ to the nations, as the Lutheran Hour would put it. It's to bring the good news of salvation to people who need to hear it, not to bring a specific church or congregation, but Christ. And what a blessing it is for us when we are following after our head, which is Jesus Christ. When we're following our head, those divisions disappear. The disagreements start to take a back seat to the importance of working together. Can your legs try to walk in different directions? If you've ever tried one of those three-legged races, it doesn't work so well when you try to go in different directions. Can your arms be trying to do different things? Not so much. Can your eyes look in different directions? Not normally. And so, too, when the church is following after her head, which is Christ, we will all be going in the same direction, the direction set by that head. There are still going to be divisions, disagreements that happen within the church. We are only human, sinful human beings, after all. But these divisions, disagreements, they become less important when the priority isn't what I think, but rather, what does God say? Following after what God says in his book, rather than our own personal preferences. And so, when we are following our head, the church's mission is unified by a single goal and a single mission. And what is the mission of the church? It's a question that every congregation needs to answer for itself, and there are specific answers that different congregations can give, but the general answer for all congregations comes from Luke 24, verse 47, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in Jesus' name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. When the church recognizes the promptings of her head, that is, Christ, she will focus all of her energy, all of her effort towards this singular purpose. Two of the indicators on the Revitality Survey that we took relate to this idea of the church's mission. They're ones that we really didn't cover in Bible study this week. We may talk about it some more next week. But vision is about the sense of mission within the congregation, and for us it lands squarely on par with our overall score. the factor on groups is about how well various groups and organizations work together towards this specific mission. And so when the congregation, or when the church rather, has a single purpose, that single mission given to it by its head, Christ, nothing can get in her way in following this. And so the question, why do we do what we do in the church? The answer to that question is always, we do these things because it gives us opportunities to share God's good news, to share God's love with others. And so if that answer is different, then something needs to change. But the goal for everything in the church is working to the purpose of God's mission, that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in Jesus' name to all nations. So the body of Christ is all built up together and all grows together because we have that single head. When a part of your body grows stronger, it can have a positive effect on every other part of your body. When your back muscles are strong, that actually can improve your joints. When your core muscles are strong, back and neck pain can go away because those muscles don't have to compensate. When a part of the body is hurting, on the other hand, it can also have a negative effect on the rest of the body. A failing knee or hip can present in back pain. Cancer in one part of the body can spread through the rest of the body. And so the same holds true for the body of Christ, or in the body of Christ, that as individual members thereof grow stronger, it has a positive impact or a positive effect on the whole body. If you are reading the scriptures regularly, participating in regular devotions, others will be enriched by your faith. If you are practicing your spiritual gifts, whether it's teaching, whether it's singing, whether it's generosity, others within the body will benefit as well. And so we are all individually members of the body of Christ, but who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Jesus calls us all together out of the world. He redeems us as his people. He sends us his Holy Spirit. He feeds us with his true body and blood in the sacrament. His mission is the one into which he has graciously called his church during our time on earth. And as we today look at the end of one church year, the beginning of another, as we begin the waiting period for Christmas and thereby for the second coming of Christ, we remember his promise that he has gone before us to his Father's presence, but he's not gone for good. He does not leave his body, the church, behind. He is coming back to reclaim us, to bring us to where he is now. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we await his coming and to bring us to life everlasting. Amen.